shiur tonight is a special shiur on mitzvah yud, on the mitzvah of matzah. Next week I have a wedding in Lakewood, so there'll be no shiur. And the week after, I think that's still the week before Shabbos HaGadol, I think. If so, we will have a shiur. I'll pick a different Pesach-related mitzvah, and then that will be it until after Pesach. So hopefully we'll have two pre-Pesach shiur yosef there's a mechasach right next to the soda. So I wanted to do some highlights, obviously just with 1 hour to do on matzah. We can't do everything, it's a huge mitzvah. But I wanted to pick a few highlights. I could have picked others, but we'll do a few highlights of mitzvah of matzah. Certainly very interesting and thought-provoking topic. So mitzvah matzah is mitzvah yud. If you have the new Minchas Chinuch, it's Amud Samach Aleph 61. And the Sefer HaChinuch is actually quite short. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Achilas Matzah, Le'echol Lechem Matzah, Balel Chamish Asar V'Nisan. You have to eat this matzah, which is a form of bread, but obviously a non-chametz form of bread, at the Seder night. Ha'osim Yimin Degen, it has to be from one of the five species, Shene Amar. Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. You have to eat it on the night, Perusho, and what's the Pshat, Korne Chazal, what is the night? Le'el Chamish Asar V'Nisan, the 15th of Nisan. And as the Gemara also says in a famous drasha, "Bein bezman sheyesh sham Pesach, or bezman shelo yesh sham." Of course, that's the be'erev means that it's always the 15th of Nisan da'oraisa, whether you have a carbon Pesach or not. And of course, that's the big nafkamino with maror. Maror is only bezman is at the rabbanon without a carbon Pesach, but matzah is da'oraisa even without, based on this pasuk.
Is it a wrong thing to say that because of lechem matzah,
it's mezonah. Yeah, I don't know.
It has a din lechem that it's all of a sudden chiv of hamotzi on Pesach.
I'm not sure. No, I don't know. But do Sfardim say hamotzi on Pesach? Even though they say hamazonas? Melakas kaviyas suda. That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe that's what you
think. You have to ask a Sfardi Rav. I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But we're not really sure who he was. That's also the author. The authorship is not 100% clear. It could be that it's definitive Sephardic, I don't know. Some say it's the sort of Aaron Alevi, but the scholars say that really we're not sure. It's anonymous. There's no name in the book. It's anonymous. So they, for years, in yeshivas, they say the sort of Aaron Alevi, but the scholars are not convinced. Anyway, the Chinuch adds, Mishar Shemitz Vizu. He says, I'm not going to tell you. You have to go look in Karban Pesach. And then Dini Amitzvah, he says, go take a look in the Gemara. That's it. That's Allah Zachan from the Sefer HaChinuch. So let's take a look. We have, in the time permitting, a few different highlights from the Minchas Chinuch. So first of all, just again, we'll try to do three or four different topics if we can. One or two small ones and then one bigger one. First one, which is interesting, has to do with the Shi'ur. The Chinuch says, we'll take a little bit from the first paragraph and then we'll skip a paragraph, right there in Beis. I mean, the first paragraph, you see where it says Shi'ura, Beis, bracketed Beis. V'shir achilam hein v'mitzvah hein v'isurin. Who because I? As a general rule, unless we know otherwise, like Yom Kippur, for example, we assume that for good or for bad, whenever the Torah has a halacha regarding food, it is with a kazayis. Chutz midavar shenispar shiracha, unless we know for sure that it's something else. Yotze bechdechilas pras, we discussed that last week with regards to the Giranosha, that whenever we say a kazayis, it's actually a factor of two. One is the volume of food, the other is the speed with which you eat it, the range, as I said, 3 to 9 minutes or so. So if you eat your kazayis within that time period, that is the mitzvah. If you skip now for a second, I just wanted to mention an interesting idea. It's a little bit gross at first, but first of all, we're all mature, so we'll take it seriously. But second of all, there's a lomdership piece which is beneath the surface, and that is in the next paragraph. If you skip the words, says ukfar kasafti, says the minchas chinuch on the left hand side of the page, ukfar kasafti le'el. The das acharonim, the achilas mitzvah, shava l'achilas iser. That's the point he just made before. Now he's broadening it. And the definitions and the conditions for a mitzvah of eating are going to be the same to violate as would be to fulfill a mitzvah. So any stipulations, which if you don't do l'kula, therefore you're not going to violate the iser of X. L'chumra, if you didn't do those stipulations, you won't have fulfilled the mitzvah of Y. One example is the shear. We just saw that. You have to eat a kazayas, just like you'd have to eat a kazayas to be over. He then adds, the im ochel matzah shelo kederach achila, lo yotza. A second example, if I eat iser, shelo kederach, let's say it's a food and I grind it up and drink it, or I swallow it, well, swallowing maybe not the best example just yet. But there are any form of what we... Yeah, we're going to get to swallowing in a hole in a second. But anything that we determine the shalok adarach, and let's take a solid that's pureed or something like that. So that is considered not an avera. At least not your eyes. You didn't do the full isur lav shalok adarach. So too, you didn't do a full mitzvah in the other direction. I in the Mishnah Lamelech, who has this discussion? V'im Kain, he says, why stop at two? Gam hadinim hamuva arin. The Rambam has a whole list of halachos for violating isurim. Emachol kazayis, one issue. Bein hashinayim, ein mitzdarach lekazayis. What if I had exactly the amount of a kazayis, but some amounts of it are stuck in my gums and the ridges of my teeth? So that means that fundamentally I swallowed less than a kazayis. Maybe barely, but 99% kosher is 100% treif, as the saying goes. So here also, 99% of kazayis is not a kazayis, and you have to have a kazayis to be over. So then you simply didn't do it, even, says the Rambam, if some things are just, you know, stuck in your teeth, but you didn't swallow them. And why is that? So the Rambam says, because when it comes to Isurim, you need Hanaz Goron. Hanaz Goron is basically the back of the throat. And it's not about satiation, we'll get to that in a second, but you have to have the taste in the back of the throat. It's got to go down. So if it gets stuck in the teeth, that's considered not a problem. If it gets stuck somewhere else in the back or somewhere on the way down, so then that would be a problem, whatever that means. But more commonly, things get stuck in the teeth. So then you're not in violation midaraisa of these isurim. Or furthermore, he says, two lines later, v'chein im ochel chatzi zayis. What if you eat a chatzi zayis of treif? V'hiko, then you throw it up, you spit it up. V'chazer v'ochel oso. Like an animal chewing its cud, and then lahavdil, and then you eat it again, and you swallow the throw up. Look, listen to what he says. Why are you not yotze? Why are you not an over? Excuse me. Why are you? I take that back. Em achol chazi gazayis v'ikiyo v'chazi v'achol oisa gazayis yotze the nehene grono b'kazayis k'mavuril inyan iser. The Rambam says, if you eat a kazayis of iser, throw it up and then swallow it again. Now I don't, Didi. You asked a good question, which is not the Minchas Chinuch does not address, and I don't have an answer for you, which is why is that considered keder chachila? It's disgusting. So the Chinuch mentions at the end here in the brackets ubelvad shalay nimas, someone who does it even though they're revolted, then that talk is shlo keder chachila. Or ain a royal achila, actually. That's ain a royal achila if you're somehow revolted, but somehow force it down anyway. But why is that considered kederach? I don't have an answer for you. You anticipated a good point. I'm not sure. But lamaisa, leave that aside, since I don't have an answer for it. The Rambam says the Farish that when it comes to an isser, if you would do that with chazer, and then you would swallow it again, then you taka are in violation. I was only a chati zayis. Yeah, but I had a nas groan of a kazayis, because I swallowed it. That's half a kazayis. Threw it up, swallowed it back. So now I've had how much a nas groan? A full kazayis. Yes. So that is the chumra of the Rambam when it comes to machal sasuros. Zot the minchas chinuch. If work was good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's going to get you in trouble as a chumra, what's the minchas chinuch's rule? He's repeated it twice now. The halachos of achilas mitzvah are the same as the halachos of achilas iser. If it's going to get you in trouble for the iser, so too says the chinuch kula, you eat a half a kazayis matzah, the kiyo, and spit it up, and then you swallow it again. That is considered, again, not if you chew it up and spit it out, then you didn't have an oscar and you have to swallow it. But if you swallow it and spit it right back up, so it never even went into your stomach, that is considered a fulfillment of a mitzvah because you had hanaz garon of a kazayis. Yes, Tali. Correct, which I'm going to get to in a second. Give back the call, please. Yes, so I want to add, exactly. So I don't want to too much dwell on this, other than to tell you the following, that this is a larger discussion in Achronim. The Imrei Bina and Hilchos Pesach, thank you, quotes a Chasam Sofer who agrees with the Minchas Chinuch, but if you take a look at the Levush, and Hilchos Pesach, Hilchos Matzah, the Levush disagrees. Because the Levush, or we can assume the Levush would disagree, because exactly of what Tali was saying, that the Levush holds the taka when it comes to matzah, it's not enough to have hanos garon. But rather, it has to be achilas ala sova, so to speak, or it has to satiate you. You need hanos kreso. You need to actually digest it. And therefore, in this case, if you ended up only digesting a half a kezias, even though you had a full kezias of hanos garon, it's certainly very likely that the Levush would disagree with that. So what's a broader issue?
Kezias maybe would say no good.
No, if you have a kezias of hanos kreso, if you swallow a kezias...
But it's not hanos kreso. It's not filling you.
No, but that's the shear. The shear is a kezias. But what's kezias? Kezias of hanos garon or kezias of hanos kreso? So the Levush holds that you need hanos kreso, and Bistama, therefore, he would not agree with this kula of the minchas chinuch. And in that sense, he would break the equation, not because in general we have different rules. No, in general we may have same rules. Kezias means a kezias, kezias pras means a kezias pras, shalkadarach means shalkadarach, all those things may be the same, but it could be that matzah requires hanos kreso, whereas the iser requires hanos goron. And the bigger issue of what that might be dependent on, etc., that would be not our topic tonight. I'm just raising it. Tali correctly anticipated that chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch to assume that mitzvahs matzah only requires hanos goron is at the heart of this kula. And I just mentioned it by Derek Marshall. A year or 2 years ago for the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, I discussed the topic of IV feeding on Yom Kippur. And what's the status if someone is hooked up to an IV on Yom Kippur? Is that called he fasted, he didn't fast, he's totally satiated, or what's got an IV? What about if he has an NG tube, a nasal gastro tube, or a nabachacholo on a stomach, on a feeding tube? So they're getting, you know, that formula they give in the nursing homes, and instead of somebody just drinking it... Exactly. So we discussed that topic then. And the issue, the longish issue of that question, in part, was when we say that there's a mitzvah of inui on Yom Kippur, inui from what? Inui from anas garon, or inui from anas kreso. So I'm just mentioning that to you now, not to go through that topic of Yom Kippur, but to give you an example of another mitzvah where we had the same shaila. Is the issue garon, or is the issue kreso? So the Minchas Chinuch here assumes that matzah is kreso, and the Chasam Sofer seems to agree, but the Lavush seems to disagree and hold that it is kreso. It could be that there's other nafkaminas as well. Well, you understand. And again, at least one nafkamina might be this chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. That's all I want to say. That's a little kind of ha'ara leh. Not even ha'ara leh. So let's take a look now, two paragraphs later, another topic, which is interesting. I don't have anything to add to it. It's just an interesting discussion in the Minchas Chinuch himself, and that's Os Gimel there. You see the bracketed Gimel. And that's the issue of swallowing. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Imbala matzah, you just swallowed matzah. Now, I assume that means you broke it up into little pieces, because you can't swallow a big piece of matzah. And the kind of, you know, and usually about 50% of the box of matzah is all broken up anyway, when you get it from the store. So you could always find pieces of matzah. Let's say you ate that, you swallowed it without biting it. Based on a Gemara, it's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Tazvav, and the Rambam paskins it b'meferish the yotzah. The have kederach achila, that is considered derech achila. However, im karchan besiv, if you wrapped up the matzah in something to help it go down, right? Swallowing matzah would not be an easy thing. It is not smooth. It would not pass FDA approval, you know, like medicine pills, you know, which have to be a certain smoothness to go down easy. So says the Gemara, says the Rambam, if you wrap them in something, ubolon, and then you swallowed it, lo yotza. The hasiv mafsik bena matzah lagaron, because whatever that material is, a little napkin, a little tissue, that is mafsik between the matzah and your garon. Now you see that, by the way, agav, focus on garon, but that's notwithstanding. But davka besiv, however, adds the Rambam. That's only if you use some non-food item. Aval im karach ba'ochel, but if you wrap it in another food, let's for now call it lettuce. Exactly, and not a maradika lettuce, because we're going to get that in a second. So think of something else that's not lettuce. That's not definitely not marar, but some other kind of food, yotze. So zramam, you are yotze. The min b'min ain't a chotze. We assume any type of food is considered min b'min. Two types of food are, in this case, are min b'min. There's no chatzitza, and therefore, in essence, we view it as if you swallow the matzah. He assumes it is derech achila.
No.
Bala is derech achila.
No. Why didn't he do that with the sieve she'eino mino, that it's not derech achila? Normally, you don't wrap something with a napkin and swallow it.
Correct. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because I guess he still sees that fundamentally. I guess he still sees it as fundamentally swallowing, and swallowing the chiddush is called derech achila. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it more than that. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a proof to this. He supports this from the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Tumah discusses what if you have nevelas of tahor. You have some kind of, here he paraphrases it, but just so you should know. So it talks about if you swallow something that's tummy, does that make you tummy? Similar thing. You're swallowing a nevela of a bird. So it itself is tummy, it's nevela. And you swallow it. You didn't bite it, you swallow it. You swallow it. No, you have it in your karchan basiv, that's the point. You have it wrapped in something. So there also, the Rambam says, if you have it wrapped in some other, in a non-food, you're not going to become tamei, because min de'enu mino is chotetz. But if you have it wrapped in a food, taka you would be tamei. So the Minchas Chinuch is just pointing out the Rambam is l'shitaso that he paskins when you wrap food in food, it's not chotetz. If you wrap food in a non-food item, it is chotetz. That I don't want to get hung up on that. The next point in Rambam though is the really interesting one, and that's the larger issue in the Minchas Chinuch. Ayin kan b'Rambam after the brackets. Im bala matzah v'maror ke'echad. You know, you figure I'm in a rush, I gotta get, you know, it's late night, the rabbi drayed a little bit in shul, and it's late, and the kids had 18,000 of our Torahs, and I'm ready, and I'm tired. So you figure, you know, who needs to waste time? I wrap my matzah in my romaine lettuce.
This is for matzah, not korea.
Correct. Yidei matzah yotze shahamaror tfeila l'matzah. Paskins the Rambam. You're yotze matzah, you're not yotze maror. Why? Because we look at it as the matzah is the tuffel to the maror. The maror is the tuffel to the matzah. It's just to help it go down, and you are yotze the matzah. Chain, where do I go? V'chosef harava magid, as the magid mishnah, the Rambam no same time. Why did the Rambam add this idea of maror tfela? So the Rambam gives an explanation. Amaylo have kekarach besiv. You know why the Rambam is giving the explanation of on page Samach Aleph. You know why the Rambam is giving the explanation of that it's that the maror is tfela, so that you shouldn't think that this is no different than a wrapper, because you could be asking why is the maror, why are you yotze when you wrap matzah in maror? The answer is, after all, it's no different than wrapping in a napkin. Oh, kamash malon, that the napkin is not tofel, so therefore the napkin interrupts and you haven't had hanah from the matzah. But if you're wrapping it in maror, that is a hefsek. I'm sorry, that's not a hefsek. You might have thought it was. Kamash malon, the maror is tofel to the matzah. Alkein kosov, the maror tefillah, the matzah v'la have a hefsek. So what do we have so far? We have a psaka. We're assuming you have a kazayas of matzah. That's a given. If you don't have a kazayas,
we don't have a kazayas. We don't know what the
how much maror there is. You mean? No, maybe it doesn't matter because you're wrapping the matzah in order to get it down. So what do we have so far? We have the psak of the Rambam. We have this guy. He's in a rush at the seder. He's in such a rush. He's not even going to chew his matzah. He wraps his matzah in romaine lettuce, and somehow, I don't know how big this guy's throat is, he manages it without killing himself and choking to death. He swallows the whole thing without biting, without chewing. Says the Rambam, you're yotze. You know why? Because the maror is not getting in the way, because you would have thought the maror for shner is the matzah. I didn't even taste the matzah. I didn't chew it, and it was wrapped up and insulated by maror. Kamash malon, says the Rambam, no. Maror is tfela la matzah, and therefore you are yotze the matzah. I mean, if you ground up, I was saying matzah pieces, maybe even.
He's not saying. He's not saying yidei matzah yotze la fukei yidei maror yotze.
He is.
So how much deeper than that do you need to go?
The shaila is why did the Rambam add the explanation of maror tefela la matzah?
Because otherwise, why are you going to be maybe even yotze maror?
Oh, good. So it's interesting. So you have a good possible answer. The Lechem Mishnah did not read it that way. The next line says the Lechem Mishnah. I don't understand. Atlo yotze yidei maror. Excuse me. That, no, I'm sorry. You're going to be mechametz in Minchas Chinuch. Excuse me. So vayin lechem mishnah. Kosav atlo yotze yidei maror. Enichanam yinat yotze maror. Mekamog ma'avim ein ha-mitzvah v'hu tofel. But since it's somehow main a mitzvah, it's not something in the loft. It's tofel to matzah. The curse doesn't get in the way of the matzah. Yotze the matzah. So Minchas Chinuch asks the Eini Maven. Lomo Hotrocha Rambam Lezahatam. Why does Rambam have to add this reason? Again, the Minchas Chinuch is not questioning the Psak. He thinks the Psak is obvious. Why are you adding this reason? Typically, we should know it already. Kimavur Sham Demin Bemin Meino Chotzeis. Because what the Rambam just said previously was that wherever you have two foods, one wrapping around the other, it's not considered a chatitza, and you are Yotze, the internal one. The sivhu Eino Mino. Only if it's a non-food item, you wrap the food in a tissue or in a napkin. So that's a hefsek. But if you wrap it in another food, that's not a hefsek. Im came be MS, lav dafka marer. It's not, the chiddush of the Rambam is not dafka tied to marer. El afilu maichel acher. Again, it would take some sweet lettuce, or I don't know, some kind, not sweet, it's not a good adjective, because according to many, the lettuce doesn't have to be sweet. But it doesn't have to be bitter. But I don't know, take some other food item, I don't know what it would be.
Seaweed.
Okay, there you go. Now that to me would be the worst kind of marer. I'm not a sushi eater. And the only thing that bothers me more than raw fish is seaweed. So, but okay, but that's a perfect example, actually. It's a perfect example. So you wrapped it in seaweed, so it would be the same halacha. So ask Minchas Chinuch, why does the Rambam act like he's making a big chiddush about murr? It's tefillah l'matzah. It's not even murr. The Rambam himself already told you, based on the Gemara, that any food that's wrapped around the matzah is not a problem. Even if it's maichel acher, im karach l'matzah, gam kein yotzei, you're still yotzei. He says, look at the pre-chadosh. What does the Prichadosh say? Mashme im af im karach matzah b'mar mikol makom yotze. Lav dafka marer alafilu karach maichel acher. So the Prichadosh makes this point that it's lav dafka marer. But the question is, why did the Rambam have to have it, this language specifically? At the end of the day, I hate to tell you, there's no way. I mean, he doesn't provide an answer. I didn't see anyone else who gives an answer. He doesn't have an answer. So I don't have an answer either. I just thought it's an interesting idea, which hopefully is not so practical for most of us, but it's just an interesting idea, and the reason I mention it is not only because it's kind of out of left field, but also because, as I think it was Yosef noted right when we started, he also has a key line in here, which is just worth remembering, which is what we started with, which is when we say you need a kazayis of matzah, kazayis of what? So again, in whenever we talk about gastronomical things in halacha, eating in halacha, whether it's what's considered an isser to eat or a mitzvah to eat, we always have, there's two key points, you know, if you're taking a bio/halacha class, what are the key points in the biological, in the gastronomical tract halachically? The answer is there's two points that are, you know, there may be 10 points that are significant medically, but there's two points that are considered significant halachically. Garon, the back of the throat, where you get the sense of taste, you know, you've definitely tasted it, that's considered you swallowed it. And then there's kreso, it's being digested. In theory, you know, you could have something, I'm not discussing, you know, the health risks of it, but again, you could have something where you have hanaz garon, but you never had hanaz kreisa, something got stuck. Or as I mentioned to you, I spoke about in Shabbat Shuvah a few years ago, somebody has a feeding tube, or nasal gastro tube, nebuch achola, so they have hanaz kreisa, they're filled, but they didn't have hanaz garon, they didn't taste the thing. So in general, in halacha, mitzvah by mitzvah, isra by isra, we have to know, what is the standard? Is it hanaz kreisa, or hanaz garon? So we saw up above that the Minchas Chinuch himself was assuming that when it came to matzah, what do you need? Hanaz Goron, alone. You don't necessarily need a kazayis in the stomach. You need to make sure that you swallowed a kazayis. So what's interesting is that at least I mentioned the Lavush argues, but not surprisingly, just two paragraphs later, there seems to be a consistent raya for the Minchas Chinuch, because in this discussion of the Rambam about swallowing, you might have thought, and again, for all I know, the Lavush loves this halacha, because you might have thought, oh, I swallowed matzah, but it was wrapped in maror, or wrapped in something else. And the Gemara seems to say, yotze. So how do you understand that? So you might have thought that that's a raya, that it's not about tasting, because I didn't taste any matzah. It was wrapped in whatever it was wrapped in. But once it's being digested, I'm having hanas kreso from the matzah. That might have been a raya for the Lavush. And yet, you see the way the Minchas Chinuch phrases it, is that because matzah is tafel, excuse me, maror is tafel to the matzah, it halachically we view it as if you had a nazgaron.
Do you use him, nazgaron and taste interchangeably? The garon is not in taste. Is it feeling of having something go down your throat that's
an asgard? You're correct to catch me on that. I am making that assumption that they are synonymous. Is it possible that I'm mistaken?
The feeling of something going down, it shouldn't matter what it's wrapped. I mean,
maybe, okay. And maybe, And maybe that's even the debate between the Levush and the Menchas Chinuch. I don't know, I'm speculating. But maybe the Levush holds you need to taste it. The fact that you didn't taste it and yet you're still Yotze shows that it's not Hanaz Garo and it's not Hanaz Kreso.
Why are we going that far? The Chila, you're swallowing it.
You're not... No, that's goof of the point, Didi. Goof of the point. When we say you need a Chila, that's goof of the Kasha. What Shad Chila? Is eating just the act of, you know, like you're teaching your kid how to chew? Or is eating the more of the end product, you know? The way to a man's heart is
not
through his throat, it's through his stomach, as the saying goes.
For sure it's not chewing. It's either garon.
Correct, I didn't say chewing. It's the swallowing. Hanaz garon is the back of the throat. Right, so maybe you're right. Maybe I'm. Maybe that's what Yosef brought up before. Maybe I'm being imprecise. Maybe I shouldn't be focusing on taste. Maybe I should just be focusing on, you know, the act of swallowing. Okay, I accept that. I'll have to look into that for the future. But I do. I just went to the pre-1A five senses fair at TA. So I know. I went with my son all the different places in the tongue. I'm a buggy now, sweet and salty. Anyway, sour. So. Okay, that's a fair point. I accept that. So let's call it swallowing versus digesting. Right? So I'm pointing out, this is my little hara again, is that maybe that's why the Rambam focused on it, and that's certainly the way the Menchas Chinuch understood the Rambam, in keeping with Shitaso, with the fact that he thinks it's just garon, just the swallowing. And therefore, the maror tfeilo lamatza means that we view it ki'ilu, you swallowed the matzah, even though you actually never tasted the matzah, and it didn't touch the back of your throat. But the Maror is tfeilo, so the kilu it's not there. I didn't look into the Levush, but Misvara, he would not have a problem with this. Because if anything, Bapashtus, it's a better raya for him that we don't care about what you swallow, because in Echanami, when you're swallowing it, you don't even know you have matzah in your mouth. You just feel the Maror. Whether you taste the Maror, but you feel it, whatever you feel going down the throat is Maror, the lettuce. But by the time it gets to your stomach, it's all broken up. So then you could clearly say you're getting Hanaz Kreso of. Okay? That is the. Margarine. Mayo, he's yeshivish. Mayo.
Yeah, what he's doing, achilas matzah, is he yotzei?
I would think so. It can't be worse than this.
Right.
Yeah, it can't
be. No, because I wanted to say, that's why the Rambam has to come and say this, because the two different cases, one is he needed something to encapsulate and to isolate the matzah in one way in order to swallow it. The other way, he had in mind to be guilty of mitzvah of mar. So he didn't do it dafka so that he could swallow the matzah and make it easier for him. He did it to be yotzei.
Yotzei what? Mar?
Mar. That's what we said.
Which you're not yotzei.
So it can't be when you're doing it just to help swallow the matzah.
But why? I mean, the whole thing is a little bit insane. But it's like less insane if you imagine that I wrap the matzah to get it down. Why would, if your whole goal is murder, why would you be wrapping it around matzah?
You're yotzei both in one shot.
Oh, because you think you're yotzei. Okay, so your goal is both.
That's what I'm saying.
The goal is both.
What he's saying is the chiddush is that it's still tafel even though
you had in mind to do it. That's the chiddush of the
Rambam. Maybe only because it's
mitzvah. I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know. The Menachah Chinuch clearly not learning that, but you have to, I didn't know you have to see the other Nosek Kelim in the Rambam. So that's a good hara. Okay. Yishkoyach. So I want to do, we have 20 minutes left. Let's do one other piece, which is a little bit bigger. We did so far two small pieces, and let's do one larger piece. And this is the issue of Lishma, or Shmura Matzah. Now we speak all the time about Shmura Matzah. We all, you know, we pay through the nose. Hopefully 50% of the box isn't broken. That's considered a victory. It's like the stock market now, right? Even is the new up. I'm still waiting for the guy who's even, but... not me, I can tell you that. But, 50% of the box, you know, I'm happy, you know what I mean? So, Lamaisa, we all talk about this thing called Shmura Matzah. What does that mean? What does Shmura Matzah mean? So first of all, one misconception is it doesn't just mean the boxes and the hand rolled. Because as I discussed in a Shabbos Gadol Drasha a few years ago, there's a whole concept of machine matzah, and you can get machine Shmura. The Yekis, and I think Minhag Yerushalayim, if I'm not mistaken as well, prefer machine matzah to hand matzah. They hold that there's certain hidurim to it. Many of us, I happen to prefer the taste of hand matzah, and many of us, it's more traditional, it's the one night a year, two nights a year where we do it, and certain poskim hold that they're hidurim to having the hand. But the hand versus machine is not the issue of shmura. Shmura is the idea, although this is really the debate, which I want to get to, which is that there is some added, there is something added. It's not just a question of I've mixed flour with water and I got lucky and it's not chametz. There's something else is required. What else required would seem to be perhaps a big debate. And we want to get to that. That's why I'm being a little bit vague, because I don't want to commit myself, because there's at least two and maybe three possibilities. But shmura, for now, just keep in the back of your mind, it's a code word for you need more. It's not enough that I just happened to make, you know, roll some flour, and I cooked it in a such a way, and dough, and I cooked it in such a way, I baked it in such a way that it didn't become chametz. That's not shmura. You need to do something else. What the else is? So that's going to be a little bit of the debate. So that's what I want to see here. And I had actually forgotten about it. I have to be honest. I don't remember everything. I forgot about it until earlier tonight when I was reviewing the Minchas Chinuch, that on that general topic, which has a lot of discussion and raid with Reb Chaim and this and that, one of the key makaros is the Minchas Chinuch. So we'll have a chance to see the key of this larger sugya. Again, we can't do justice to the whole sugya in 20 minutes, but I'll give you a little bit of the cliff notes, and we'll see the key part from the Minchas Chinuch. So take a look. Skip two or three pages. We're on the bottom of Samachay. The bottom of Samachay. Again, just to review for those who came in, we're going to have no shiur next week because I have a wedding. The week after, Mitzvah Shem, assuming that that's not the week of Shabbos Agadol, which I don't think it is, we will have one more shiur where I'll pick a different Pesach mitzvah, and we'll do some highlights. And tonight we're doing matzah. Again, obviously in one shiur we can't do the whole thing. It's 10 pages. So we're just jumping around to see a few highlights of matzah. And then in 2 weeks we'll see the highlight maybe of chametz or one of the other Pesach mitzvahs. So let's skip now to one final highlight of the night. On the bottom of page Samach Hay, on the inner, the right column, the inside column, at the bottom, you see where the parentheses, Beis and Ches, is. You see on the margins, Shimur Lishma. That's our topic. Ayin psochim lamed chesomid beis. Tachalos toda v'rekike nozir eino yotze behem. What is that? A carbon toda. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, a person has a wonderful, does great in business, has a healthy baby, survives an illness, v'chulei, wants to bring a Thanksgiving gift to Hashem. So he brings a carbon toda, a Thanksgiving carbon. We say that's what we say every day in davening. Mizmor l'soda commemorates that. So the carbon toda was a flour offering. It was a fried kind of flat pan type of flour offering. And in essence, for lack of a better term, it's not identical. It's maybe closer to what Sfardim have. I'm not sure. The ones who have the soft matzahs. But it's certainly not identical to what we have, as we call matzah. But halachically, it's viewed as a non-chametz dikka flour and water, you know, creation. They called it, ironically enough, chalos. But it doesn't look at all like our chalas. It looks much closer to our matzahs. It's just a softer version. And they would give kind of a wafer type thing. That was a carbon toda, was this matzah thing. Or a nazir, the carbon that the nazir brings, what's called the rekike, the wafers of the nazir. Also, and the important part for us, we're not learning carbon toda now, we're not learning nazir now. The important part for us is, in terms of the basic ingredients and the halakhic requirements, those are identical to matzah that we have in the box, from Shatzer, from Haredim, from Papa, whoever you want. It's matzah for all intents and purposes. So the shaila you could ask is, here I am, I used to be a nazir, I have some extra of my rekike nazir, do I have to go spend the money and go to the, you know, the matzah maker in Williamsburg, or maybe I could just use my old rekike nazir? Or I brought a carbon toda, I got some leftover, can I use that? So on that topic, the Gemara says, Eino Yotzeben. The answer is no. Question is obvious. Why not? If it's not chametz, it's matzah, why not? So the Gemara says, a pasuk, Techiv ushmarte mesamatzos, excuse me, you should watch the matzos, end quote. Zok the Gemara, mishtameres l'shem matzah yotza, if you prepared it, if you watched it, quote, l'shem matzah, your yotzei, If you didn't prepare it l'shem matzah, you're not yotzei. If you've ever gone to the matzah bakery, you know, you have the mashkiach telling, you know, to the old Russian women. I assume that in any generation in Jewish history, it was old Russian women. Probably in Egypt too, right? It's impossible to imagine a matzah factory without old Russian women. Am I right? Anyway, so you know, what is the mashkiach saying? L'shem mitzvah matzah. It's from this Gemara. From this Gemara, it says Rashi, what does that mean? Kol shimur sh'ata mishamra, Shelo tachmitz. You're doing this. You're making it very careful. You're rolling it. You're this. You're that. And you're doing everything. Make sure that there's no chometz. Hiskavi l'shem masa shel mitzvah. What do you see from Rashi? It's not enough that you just make sure there's no chometz. That maybe the Nazir doesn't have any chometz. The Torah doesn't have any chometz. But it's more than that. L'shem masa shel mitzvah, which excludes yotzezu shelo nishtamra l'shem masa shel mitzvah pesach. The Rekike Nazir, the Karban Todah, they were also washed for the sake of the Todah, for the sake of the Nazir. They weren't washed for the sake of Mitzvah Matzah.
Can you do that? Can you do those things from Matzah?
But you mean, can you double up? Could you have in mind both?
Yes. And then bring it for the Nazir or for the Taita.
I don't want to get into where he gets this from or how this gets in, but I saw Ramosha Soloveitchik actually. I'm going to mention the Rambam in a few minutes to you. I wasn't going to mention Ramosha on that Nakuda. Ramosha Soloveitchik held that that's good for the problem, that they're mutually exclusive. They can only have one Kavana. And by definition, if you'll have Kavana for Nazir, for Shter, it's impossible. It's a zero-sum game halachically. It's either, because the Kavana defines it. It's either Rekike Nazir or it's Matzah Mitzvah. It's either Chalas Soda or Rekike Nazir. It cannot have a dual identity. It can't be schizophrenic. It's either whatever it is. So it's a good point, but he, at least according to Ramosha, and he has a proof in the Rambam for this, he holds that that can't be. What do you see from all this, though? What's the point? Says the Menachas Chinuch, Im kein mavuar tzarach shiur l'shma. Uzeiras ha'kosav kemo karbonos. Just like we have by karbonos, it's the first sugi in Masechtas Vachim, that you got to bring the karbon l'shma. And we have by tzitzis, you have to make the tzitzis l'shma. According to some machlokas in the Gemara, you have to make your sukkah l'shma. We have to write a get l'shma. You can't just be practicing. And more than that, you have to be writing it for this particular husband and wife, or soon to be ex-husband and wife. The Sefer Torah, has he written l'shma? So we have a notion of l'shma, says the Menachas Chinuch. You see from this Gemara and Rashi, the matzah has to be l'shma too, or else what's wrong with the Nazir and with the Todah? They're not chometz stick. Mahadrim and a mahadrim, they're not chometz stick. It doesn't matter because they're not l'shma. You see that, says the Menachas Chinuch, from this Gemara. And he gives you other examples of Ksiva Saget, etc., etc.
Maybe it's because you had specific Kavanah for something other than Matzah.
Well, that's again, that's the Ramosha Soloveitchik point that I was mentioning to Hillel a second ago.
So, no,
good. Hold off on that. Hold off, okay? Now, there's more to see on the bottom of this paragraph, but I think for our purposes we're going to skip that. Let's turn the page. Turn the page to the bottom, exactly the same place on the next page. Yeah, you're flying. We're flying. The bottom of Samach Vav, exactly, yes. The bottom, Matzah Yishena, old Matzah. You know, some Matzahs taste stale the first time you buy them, so what's the difference, you know? My Zaidi, I don't know in your families, and my Zaidi used to buy so much Shmura Matzah because he used to eat it until Shavuos. Now, I don't know, after Shavuos wasn't good anymore, we finished it by Shavuos. But we ate all 7 weeks, assuming that we had Shlemus, we would even eat that for La Commissioner with my Zaidi. That was his minig. I don't know if it's a Gera minig or not, or just a Rashaviak minig, but that was what we did.
Just liked it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bottom line, yeah.
So I
just tell you, when I first came to Baltimore, when we came to Baltimore, I was, by the time of the first Pesach, I was 30. Most 30-year-olds don't make their own Pesach. But when you're a rabbi, you have no choice, so you make your own Pesach. So I was like, it's a big, you know, you feel, making my own Pesach. All of a sudden, you grow up very quickly, and I bought a lot of matzah, and I told my wife, she said, what are you ordering so much for? I said, first of all, no, the shul make a little money. But I said, second of all, I said, we'll eat it. This is my Zaidi's minug, this family minug. Came Shavuos, and she looked at me, and there's this much. And I made my matzah order today, every single year, till last year, 5 years in a row, another box less. Because if she goes, but you don't eat as much. So, okay, fine, I won't get 14 pounds, I'll get 13. Okay, so this last year, my wife reminded me, she said, please remember to order matzah. And I don't know what you had last year, but that was perfect. Just do the same as last year. We're about 50% of what I ordered the first time. So maybe you'll call it Yerida Sadaros. What can I say? A good warm challah 3 weeks after Pesach, I guess that's my preference. What can I tell you? Anyway, but what if you have an old matzah? I have old matzah. I left it over till next year. What's the halacha? So at the bottom of the page, he quotes Tostus. In the Bavli, it's not discussed. But Tostus digs up a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Matzah Yeshena, plugs it to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So first he wants to claim, and that's a machlokas in Sukkah, a Sukkah Yeshana, an old Sukkah. Beis Shammai says no, Beis Hillel says yes. Meaning, what's an old sukkah? Meaning, I didn't make it for this year's sukkahs. I had it. It was my, what's the word? You just for my shpatzir in the summer, my gazebo, my whatever the word is. You know, I had it. Now it's Pesach, it's sukkahs. I want to leave it up. Why not? So Beis Shammai says okay. Beis Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. And Yerushalmi at first says no. It's the same machlokas here. Amar Rav Yosa Divrei Akolhu Kevu Shelo Also L'Shem Pesach Davar Baruhu Shelo Diktekba. So he introduces a new factor, which is if this matzah wasn't made l'shem the holiday for Pesach, we can't be sure that people were careful about it. That's the quote. So if you take that quote alone, my case of matzah from one year to the next should be fine. Right. But matzah that was stamas I done because somebody liked it in the spring, or I should say the summer, and I kept it for 9 months. So then, you know, somebody made matzah. You know, it's funny. Again, it's like the palate. I one of these, you know, like, you know, there's like these books you can buy, like, you know, these profound questions about Narshkeit. It's like, you forgive me, the bathroom books. So I started the first chapter of my Jewish bathroom book. And my first one was about, like, certain things, like, how come we associate, like, how come everyone loves matzah brei? So how come we don't have it 51 weeks a year? What's anything wrong with tonight eating matzah brei? They said, but who would think of it? Right? I don't know why. It can only be eaten that week. I love matzah brei. I can't get enough of it on Pesach. Thankfully, we're not Makbaranga Brooks. To me, that would be the most killer. I eat matzah brei the whole Pesach. But I would never dream of doing it any other time of the year. You know, so if for whatever reason they got matzah, you know, early, but who's going to eat it? But I wasn't careful the same way I would be careful if I knew I was making it for Pesach. So the Gemara says that's why it would be a problem. But if we knew that some, but what's the inference? If we knew that someone was careful, there could be a machlokas. But if we weren't sure if someone was careful, then even Beis Hillel would say it's not good.
You're talking about a scenario where they did a l'shem matzah's mitzvah.
No, we're not saying it. That's the point. The only issue in the Gemara, that's what I want to bring out. The Menachas Chinuch, I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time, but the Menachas Chinuch, what the Menachas Chinuch brings out, going up to the next paragraph, is exactly this point. The Gemara's whole focus is very practical. In this scenario, do I have to be concerned that they bake matzah without the vigilance of the L'shayim Mitzvah matzah? Not because I care about the L'shayim Mitzvah matzah, but because we know that everyone is on their walking on eggshells whenever they're baking for Pesach. But maybe if they're just stamazai baking, you know, the same guy who just stamazai would eat matzah brei in the summer, so he's just making matzah in the summer because he likes it so much, so why not? You know, if Zaydi liked it for Shavuos, let him eat it after Shavuos too. The answer, you know, so, but he wouldn't be as careful. So that's the only issue. And the Minchas Chinuch says, if you take a look at the top line of the next paragraph, of the next column, V'ani Tama Ma'ona Yerushalmi, says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand. Heich Matzi Yeshana Toi B'Pulka Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Machshirin Kmo Sukkah. How could this have anything to do with that sugya? Hatayma De B'Sukkah Ein Tzarech Asiyo L'Shma. Because by Sukkahs, there's an extraneous issue. But no one holds you need L'Shma. The Gemara we just said, but the Nazir and the Karban Todah, the Shimur L'Shma, have him in a Torah. You need L'Shma. Even if you knew that there was no chametz in it, so that whole equation in the Yerushalmi is connected to the machlokas. It's about sukkah. It's a question if they were careful. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand. And yet. One more point, and then I'll give you just the background of the Rambam. Skip now to Daf Samach Zayin. We are flying. The middle of the inside paragraph, Vihine, the big paragraph there. It's a very beautiful line. It says, after all of this, says the Minchas Chinuch, Mikol Masha Kasavti Mavur. Just what did I just skip? Just so you should know, what did we skip? As you've seen on the boxes of the matzahs, there's a big machlokas when we say you have to watch the matzah with this extra shimur. From when? So there's different stages. The earliest stage is katsira in the field. The latest stage is the kneading, the lisha. And then there's the afia. Then there's in the middle, there's lisha. There's tchina. Four stages in Rishonim. It's a machlokas Rishonim. And our minhag is to be machmir if we can, even from Shas Ksira. So here is the Minchas Chinuch, what I just skipped with you, is his summary of all the different shitas. This one says this, one says this. Says the Minchas Chinuch, Mikol Mashka Safti Mavur, Ta'osa Maisa Kigon Halosh, whether it's the kneading stage, Uchadom, or other shitas have a different stage. Tzrichim sheyechabnu l'shem matzah, right? Like the guy in the factory. L'shayim mitzvah matzah. Ayin the Beis Yosef will summarize all the shittas. Says the Minchas Chinuch, such a beautiful line. It's a good musar too. V'lo ha'bayshon lemod. Lomed. He goes, I'm not embarrassed to admit. If I'm embarrassed, I won't learn anything. V'lo evo shlomar. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. Minolon l'kol rishonim dindam. I'm reading rishonim. And yet, everyone's taking for granted something from Minchas Chinuch. I don't know where any of them get it from. They're quibbling over details. I will question on all of them. Nehi deboi shimor l'shma. Even though, and for this I haven't figured out like where he pivots any earlier, other than here he just seems to pivot mamish on a dime. But even though when I started, I read to you here back on page Samachay that he himself gave an example of Sefer Torah, of other things that need Lishma, but here he points out the equation is flawed. Because by those things, each and every one of them, there's a pasuk that requires the asiyah of the object to be lishma. The process, not just the result, the process has to be lishma. But when it comes to matzah, he says, it's not the process of making matzah, it's the shimur. Now what's the difference? And this, by the way, this is what I was referring to 10 minutes ago when I said that when I double-checked and I went through my notes in the Minchas Chinuch, I forgot that it's the Minchas Chinuch who has one of the big chidushim. He's not the only one who says this, but it's definitely a big Minchas Chinuch chiddush.
And the shimur part of the process?
No, so let's be careful, let's be clear. I was intentionally vague until now, and again, the Rishonim seem to support one side of that vagueness. Namely, there are parts of the process which are actively making the matzah. And let's forget the harvesting for a second. Let's say we're in the factory. Kneading it and baking it are the two parts where I'm actually making matzah, not just getting the raw materials to the factory, you know, to the floor. I got the raw materials, I got flour, I got water, kneading it and baking it. Says the Minchas Chinuch, there's actually a third thing. I'm making sure that there shouldn't be chametz. But I can make sure that there isn't chametz for a kind of a part of a reason. I can make sure there's no chametz for a different reason because I don't want it to be ineligible to be for a nazir or for a todah. Or there's the third thing, which is the necessity, I can have in mind that I'm doing this dafka for mitzvah matra. The shimur is the fact that I'm extra vigilant. I started off at the beginning, again, I was intentionally vague. I said it's not just enough that it happens that you didn't have chametz, and that the matzah is non-chametz, like it happened to come out in 18 minutes of kulei. No, there needs to be something extra. So what's the extra? Says the Minchas Chinuch, one possibility is just that I was extra vigilant. You know, it's like, you know, every industry has certain, you know, government-enforced standards, and you can have inspections, you know. So someone was just telling me, David Lopin was telling me that years ago, I think we lived in Pittsburgh, he worked for Marriott Hotels, so they used to have food inspections, but, you know, once a year or whatever it is from the state. But they had what they called the gold standard. They had a higher standard of the government, and they would do random checks on their own hotels to make sure that they were even higher for when the government would come. So whatever the usual requirement would be to make sure that there wouldn't be chametz in something, could be that for Pesach you need shimur, shmartem, an extra thing. It's not something lumdish, if you will. It's something very practical. It's just that whatever, you know, in ladover sof, you know, you have, you know, certain mothers don't let the kids, you know, run around at certain, you know, cross the street without a, you know, every, you know, certain people are more vigilant with the kids, less vigilant. So I have a normal standard. I'm, you know, I let my kids a little freedom, but I'm careful that they shouldn't do this and that and the other dangerous. But, ooh, you know, it gets dark early or I hear there's something bad in the neighborhood, I'm extra vigilant. So 1 week a year in preparation for matzah, I'll be extra vigilant. On the other extreme, you could have what we thought we were talking about, which is that, no, there's a lumdisha thing. It's not just practical. Extra careful there's no chametz. It's more than that. I need lishma, right? The lishma of Sefer Torah or the like or the get. There's something practical about that. You would look at it 100 times, you would know the difference. It's an invisible halakhic magic, an invisible lumdus that I give meaning to it because I had intent. I'm doing this l'shem, the kedusha of the Sefer Torah. So I thought that I need even, so Minchas Chinuch originally thought, it's not just this pragmatic thing, we're going to go to the other extreme. It's like matzah, it's like Sefer Torah, it's like get, I need lishma, in the lumdisha sense. But now the Minchas Chinuch comes back to a middle position, which is that, in Echanami, it's a hybrid. My vigilance, it's not a question of being more or less. It doesn't have to necessarily be more. As long as I make sure there's no chametz, that's enough vigilance. But the vigilance has to be lishma. Not for some par reason, not because I'm an absent-minded professor and I wasn't thinking about what I was doing, and certainly not because I was thinking about another mitzvah. My vigilance has to be l'shem mitzvahs matzah, and perhaps even specifically for the Seder, but even if without the Seder, leave aside the Seder, l'shem mitzvahs matzah. And it's meduyuk in the Rashi that he quoted, which until now we weren't really so precise in, the Rashi that he quoted was, the lashon of the Rashi was, kol shimur sh'atam shamra, hischave l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. He doesn't say when you make the matzah, the making is l'shema. He says the shimur is l'shema. So, and then he says here, if you skip down to the middle of the paragraph, he quotes this again, and he says in the middle of the line, it's about literally halfway down, at the 50-yard line or so, Rak mavur the hashimur tzarech l'shema. All we see is that the watching has to be l'shema. Not the maisa of lisha, not the kneading or the reaping, not that stuff. The shimur, which I'm doing anyway, has to be lishma. Imken ha'ikr hu hashimur. And therefore, here he gives you a nafkamina of a goy. And I'll close with a nafkamina of machine matzah. One of the big shilas on machine matzah when it was invented is you don't have lishma. If I got a machine doing all the work, how could there be lishma? So one big answer was, no. By me pushing the button, and when I have kavana to push the button, maybe that counts. And that's a big debate back and forth, yes, no, maybe so. But then there's a whole other group, Rabsi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, the great Gaon. Rabsi Pesach Frank had the Ein Sof. He said, no, you're missing the point. You know why machine matzah is good? Because we don't need a seal shema. If you have a seal shema, then we can declare is the machine like a person, the person like a machine. It's all a mistake. You need shimur l'shma. And even while the machine is working, I'm with my human eyes, I'm watching to make sure that there should be no chametz. I can do that just as well with a Russian woman. I can do it just as well with a machine. As long as my shimur is being done l'shma, mali a machine, mali a Russian woman, mali anything, or in the Himichasana's case, mali a guy that I'm watching. It's that the shimur is l'shma. So if you accept, so I just want to point out to you, again, if you ever read anything or hear from somebody else about this, usually when we talk about the shaila of what's the halach of shmura matzah, usually in Rishonim and Achronim they talk about two poles. Is it a pragmatic issue, just be extra vigilant, be super duper 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 careful? Or is it, no, it's something more fundamental, more lumdish, give it meaning, give it symbolism, make it l'shma. Those two are definitely possibilities. But the chiddush of the Menachas Chinuch is a third possibility in the middle, which is that it's practical in the sense that we're talking about the shimur, but it's not just more or less shimur, as much as that the shimur itself has to be lishma, which is somewhere in between. It's not saying that the asiyah has to be lishma, but it's also more than just saying be extra careful. It's that the shimur needs to be lishma. And again, one nafkamina of the Menachas Chinuch himself.
The shimur, isn't that automatically lishma?
Why?
You pick up the lulav and that's the word.
No, that's a gemara.
The fact that you're picking it up, you don't have to say, I'm about to make
no, though, what you're remembering is that the Gemara says, "Kaven de agbe nafik pe," that picking up a lulav right away, you're yotzei. But that's just a chiddush to say. That's not about kavana. That's about that you shouldn't think that if you didn't do nanum, you're not yotzei. Just picking up the lulav is already enough of a mitzvah. Netila means picking it up. It doesn't mean up, down, right, left, and all around. That's a different issue. That's a different issue. And the bottom line is, there's no pasuk that's equivalent to v'shmartem by lulav. The issue you have by lulav or by many other mitzvahs is kavana. Mitzvah shrichas kavana and lo shrichas kavana. What does kavana mean?
Something.
But l'shma is definitely else. L'shma is something else. And we do have a pasuk by matzahs. It's v'shmartem as a matzahs. We have a gemara, mishtamerish, l'shem. We do have gemaras. Shaz, what do the gemaras mean? So we have this big machlokas. Is it just practical extra vigilance, or is it something more lumdish and symbolic? And then you have this middle position of the Minchas Chinuch, which, if you accept it, which, for example, Rabbi Pesach Frank did, so then that gives you a whole type of flexibility you wouldn't have had otherwise.
With the machine, exactly.
All right?